I'm Kylie from Texas, and you're watching College Volleyball Weekly.
I'm Kelly from Stanford Beach Volleyball, and you're watching or listening to College Volleyball Weekly Beach Top 20.
I'm Allie from Florida State, and you're watching College Volleyball Weekly Beach Top 20.
This is Jamie Whitmarsh from UCLA, and you're on College Volleyball Weekly.
Go Bruins!
Hey, good day, everyone, and welcome to, I probably should have looked before I went on, but I'm going to guess it's episode 7 of CVW Collegiate Beach Top 20. That's Kelly Bilardi of Stanford, Jaden Whitmarsh of UCLA, Kylie Wickley of Texas, and hopefully coming in hot will be Allie Hansen of Florida State. And as we were talking before we jumped on, it was a very light week, but some pretty gnarly competition in one area of the United States. So I wanted to make it kind of like a athlete takeover and have the athletes bring up the topics and we can talk about matches that caught their eye this week. And I'll try and chime in. We'll all try and chime in and just see what the going is, because I think if by my final count, there are 6 teams in the top 20 that are idle. So that's a lot of teams to be off, but the top 8 or top 15 teams were in Baton Rouge. So let's start with Kylie. Anything you want to throw on the table for our listeners and viewers right off the top of your head?
Pretty gnarly weekend. I think the big shocker was LSU USC that everyone's kind of been talking about. Also, there were some milestones for FSU girls. Allie with 100 wins.
Who can't even like receive the props here right now. Thanks for coming, Allie.
And then Anna with 75 and Alexis with 50. Awesome for those girls. And then again, UCLA and Stanford going undefeated. It's awesome for you guys too.
Well, let's pick that apart. Well, let's let Kelly and Jane jump in on the things that you brought up. Anything you wanted to say about any of those items that Kylie brought up?
I can go. Talking more about the LSU-USC duel, our team was warming up while that was going on. And just from being there, like, I think the entire tournament, like, was the most electric in that moment. Like, it felt like the place was shaking. And I was trying to focus on, like, my court and, like, warming up, getting ready for my match. But I was literally, like, side-eyeing the game the entire time. It was just pretty unbelievable. I definitely give props to LSU for coming out and, you know, showing grit. And yeah, I think that's the best they've played all season, I mean, to what I've seen. So yeah, that was definitely a big upset, but all props to LSU.
Before we jump on, I know you had something else to say, but it doesn't show the order of finish on the releases, but did it come down to that final duel, or was it already settled before?
It was 3-1. It was 3-1 at one point. And then the last match finish was the ones. And then Delaney and Meg took that in 3. So made it 3-2.
Oh, so it was pretty much in hand and kind of afterthought. So, well, good. Thanks for the info. What else did you want to drop on there, Jen?
That was the biggest thing, I guess, like upset, I would say. But yeah, being at the Death Valley Invitational, it was really, really amazing to see. Great competition all around, and also be competing against great competition. Like every match was insane. So it was just really cool to experience that.
Well, I'm only also going to add, being that you were involved, it looked like that next duel against LSU, they had a lot of gas taken out of them. It was 5-0. And I think you and Tessa decided to go 3 just to make it entertaining.
It was good. I think playing LSU second that day, it kind of gave us a wake-up call. And, you know, like, it's just a reminder to go in every single game with, like, the same attitude and the same, like, intensity, because anything can happen. So,
yeah. Kelly, what you got?
Yeah, I agree with what Jane said. Like, it was so crazy. She said electric, because literally when I was thinking about the tournament, I was like, the one word I would use to describe it would be electric as well. It was so many good teams and so many, like, it was just so funny. Even when I was off, I was always wanting to, like, watch everyone play, because everyone there was so good. I was thinking it was, like, FAU and, like, LSU, like, they aren't as high rating like the teams that we played, but still like going into it, it was like every team is really good. So like in order for us to win, like we have to be at our best or else we're gonna lose, which I also think was super cool. But yeah, I feel like the main duel that caught out obviously was LSU-USC. I was watching that because we were done playing, so we were just there waiting for our flight. And I know, like, I think, I don't remember who won the first set, like the fours or fives, but I know it came down to the threes. So it was the Norses versus Ella Larkin. And then the LSU blocker number eight, she hadn't been in the lineup, I don't think, like all season. She was just in for that game. I'm not sure her name, but I was on the three. So I played Ella, but I didn't play her. She played with a different partner when I played them.
Gabby Bailey?
Yes. I don't
she
know.
She was playing with Ellie. Sorry. Oh my gosh. Ellie, she played with the other Ella. Best of the West or Eats Meets West.
Yeah.
So there's Gabby Bailey.
Yeah. She was super impressive. I think she played on the sixes maybe against us. So I don't know. It was awesome for her to come in and do well. And that game was, it was down to the wire. It was in three. I think it was like 16-14, but it was electric. So I don't know. Great volleyball. Great weekend. Super hot. I was like, wow. But it was super fun.
Excellent topics. Well, let me ask you this, because it was primarily basically another Eats Meets West, but in Baton Rouge. But TCU came in as one of the hottest teams in the nation. And they came out of the weekend, I believe, 1-3. Let me go up to my notes really quick here. 1-3 with a win over 3-2, or Cal 3-2, and then USC, UCLA, and of course Stanford is 5-0, 5-0, 3-2. But I noticed when I watched on day two, looked like Hector shuffled his lineup a little bit because Haley and Lena weren't playing together anymore. Which I'm like, well, they've been pretty strong, but I'm not the coach. I'm like, just let them play it through. But thoughts on TCU and Florida State, being that they're the other Eastern teams, as well as FAU and LSU. we'll go Kelly.
One thing that sticks out to me for TCU is Alex Parkhurst wasn't in the lineup. I think she's hurt. So I know, I think they had to like forfeit their game against Washington or something with that happened. So her being hurt definitely, I think, made them switch up the lineup. So like, I had no idea who I was going to play going into it. So that's definitely tough for them. She's a really good player. So I think that definitely hurt them, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Any other topic you want to jump in? We'll go to Jaden Pickett. Athletes take over.
Well, talking about TCU, I agree with what you said, Rob, about them splitting up their ones pair. I thought that was pretty interesting, just because I know they moved Sutton, that was in the twos, up to the ones, and then Lena down to the twos. And I don't know, I just think that Haley and Lena are really good in the ones, and it was pretty surprising that I think they lost to I don't know if it was USC and then us or something, but and then they just decided to change. I think they should have or could have kept them together and see how they did against the other teams. Because I feel like that's also when pairs become, I don't know, closer, is when like you go through a loss or you are in a little bit of a rut, and then it's like how you bounce back and, you know, come up from it is when pairs get stronger. So I was pretty surprised that they split them up, just because we know that they are like one of the best ones pairs. So yeah, that's my take on it.
Yeah. The refining fires. I mean, you got to take your bumps and that's how you get stronger. Right. All right, Kylie, thoughts on TCU, FSU, LSU, or FAU at Death Valley Invitational?
Yeah, I was definitely, when I saw that switch, because like Haley's one of my friends, I was like paying attention to her story and stuff, and it was like they repost like the wins and stuff, and it was like her and Sutton, and I was like, whoa, that's like crazy. And then, yeah, sometimes the coaches just make decisions.
So being the outsider fan, I think that maybe they had a little argument and like, oh, maybe we need to separate you for this one duel. But I know they're probably far more mature than I am. But
yeah. And then Cal also, I feel like, had a lot of, not shifts like through the weekend, but just different people in different places in the lineup. that I noticed.
Yeah. Now, Jaden, I think that you're close to this one, but AVCA Pair of the Week, Nally Miskowski and Ensley Alden, who've kind of just been flying below the radar because they're hiding back there, the fives, and but they've been winning quite a bit.
Yeah, they are so, so good together. And yeah, it's amazing like what they can do when they get together, especially because, I mean, Nat's not the tallest. She's not like a big intimidating blocker, but she is so good at her ball control, and her pole defense is one of the best on our team. And also Ensley, it's her first time playing in the lineup, and she's just doing it so well. And she's been handling pressure so greatly, and I don't know, she's a ball of fire, and them two together are definitely a really tough fives pair. And yeah, I'm just really proud of them. I think they're doing awesome.
Yeah. Kylie or Kelly, any thoughts on UCLA? This is a safe space. We're in the safe tree.
I wasn't surprised that they got pair of the week, because I've been watching them throughout and I was like, wow, they're super solid. Also their record, what, they've lost like one game. Like, that's insane. I feel like no pair has done that. Maybe like somewhere Delaney and Meg, I think maybe have two losses, one loss maybe. But I don't know. I've been watching them all season. So, and they do fly under the radar, but such a solid fives pair. I feel like they could be like a threes pair, fours pair on any other team. So super good for them. I was like happy that they got that, because I feel like they deserve it a lot and like they don't get talked about enough. So I was happy for them. It's good.
I'm trying to pull up their record here, and it's not updated, unfortunately, but we know they are pretty solid. They don't lose a whole bunch. You know, I think they dropped a set the entire weekend at the Death Valley Invitational, which is huge considering you have top 15 teams up and down that player or the team roster. So, but I wanted to mention USC, Megan and Delaney, the winningest pair in the nation at this point with a 23-1 record. Pretty amazing. So, but it's interesting in the polls this week, after all the results have come through, the disagreement between the collegebeachvolleyball.com poll and the AVCA poll, because Stanford moved into two on the AVCA poll and the College Beach Volleyball panel wasn't as impressed. So not that polls matter, but I just thought it was interesting that Stanford took the two. I'm not hating on Stanford, just to be clear.
Everyone's hated on Stanford.
There must have been multiple Cal voters on that panel. I wanted to ask you guys primarily about the atmosphere of Death Valley, because Volleyball World came in, VBTV streamed every single court. But I also noticed that you had some, popular names in attendance there. You had, I think, Kyle Friend was there, Kristen Nuss, and Richie Lamborn was there. They're commentating, but all the streams that I was on, I didn't get commentary. Were they on one particular feed? Do you know?
Yeah.
Which court?
Yeah. They were on court one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And and they had brought Mark Sherman in from the AVP and done the Olympics as the host. Six courts going at the same time?
Yeah.
That's some work. So anything else about Death Valley Weekend, or any, since we're on that topic right now?
I just think the, like, how they broadcasted the whole thing, and like, VBTV came in, and you know, the announcers, like, it was just like, it made it so special, and like, I don't know, it just like gave the sport the recognition it deserves. And I just wish that was the case for all the tournaments. Like, wouldn't that be so amazing if there was like actual coverage of our sport? And I don't know, it made it feel like special. And you know, my family got to watch, and unfortunately they couldn't be there in person, but it was just amazing having that that option and that opportunity for them and other people to watch. So
yeah. Kelly, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's so nice. Like, also just having, like, a commentator there, and, like, he did the AVP, and now he was doing, like, college. Like, that was super cool. And same with Jaden. Like, my family didn't get to be there, but, like, my grandma got to watch, which was cool because, like, even at Stanford, we don't have any live streams. Like, what is that? But I don't know. It's just great for the sport. And it's, like, beach volleyball is so fun. Like, when I have, like, random friends who don't know anything about volleyball and they watch it or come watch, like, us play in person, they're like, wow, like, this is such a fun sport. Like, I wish it was more accessible to watch, or like more things that I knew about it so I could go watch. So I don't know, it just shows that like how fun our sport is, and that it should be broadcasted more, and like everyone likes it. Also, like, it's so fun playing in an atmosphere like that. At least I feel like I play better because it's like feels so like electric. Everyone's there, and even like some girls from Tulane, like they drove down to watch, which was super cool. So I don't know, a lot of people there, and it was fun, it was broadcasted.
Yeah. Callie, you obviously were watching remotely. Were you multiple screens up on your VBTV, or was it logging you out because I thought you were multiple different users on the same account?
So I had one, my mom had one, and my brother had one. So we had lots of courts going, watching them. I just think like it's hard to grow awareness and like a fan base for a sport if it's not being broadcasted. And like with indoor volleyball, we've seen a huge influx of viewership and like fans and all that stuff because there's been more broadcasting of it. And so like doing that on the beach side is only going to be better for the sport. So I thought that was awesome.
Well, one of the reasons why I started doing the College Volleyball Weekly Beach Top 20 is because I felt like there were some personalities like yourselves that needed to be put out there, because excellent ambassadors to the game. And even on indoor, I met Kelly Indoor at Marymount playing back in the day, and Jane at Torrey Pines, and just happened to come across Allie at a duel. I'm like, you have really outgoing personality. I love talking to you. Would you do a podcast? But I really think that getting that out there is so important, because they see that not only are you athletes, but you're phenomenal individuals in the classroom and just socially. So I agree with you. I'd love to see more coverage, you know. I know it's got to start with like the top 10, but I want to see it growing out, because on the men's side, because of the ESPN Plus contracts, we get to see a lot more matches now on men's indoor and even collegiate women's indoor, just Pac-12 Plus, or, you know, the even Bally's started showing some beach duels last year. They did the CCSA tournament, because I know I had to work all day long, but it was incredible to see every single duel and every single court being broadcast. So yeah, I feel there's a great opportunity there, especially with the personalities that are involved and the talent, of course, because there is some pretty crazy duels and the settings. If you have not been to a duel where there are five flights going at it and you have one wave starting off with the twos and fours and it's tied 1-1, you come down to the ones, threes, and five flights, it's tied 2-2, and it's down to one court, and all the girls gathering around that one court, is an insane scene. So, because you guys haven't seen that at all by any means. anything else about Death Volley Invitational this last weekend you wanted to touch on? All good? Think so? Okay. I wanted to go look. I did highlight some teams that were in action last week, and you know, one of the teams, Kylie has faced a few times, and I think they're ending their season with the same team, but they are at number 20 in the, I know for sure, the College Beach Volleyball poll. Didn't get a chance to really view in the AVCA poll. Actually, let me do that now. Yes, they're at 20 on the AVCA poll as well, but it's Texas A&M Corpus Christi, which was Texas's only loss this last weekend at the Islander Classic. Is that correct, Kylie?
That is correct.
So tell us about the Texas team, and I think you do face them again here soon, don't you? No, you're at TCU Invitational.
So. Yeah, we'll face them this weekend and also next weekend. So yeah, I think we have a lot of new faces in the lineup, a lot of indoor girls that are starting to kind of figure it out. It was really windy this last weekend there, right on the beach, like courts were like 50 feet from the beach, like the water. So yeah, pretty windy, really cool. The Texas A&M Corpus Christi, they have really good ball control, I would say. Noticed that a lot in the wind, but yeah.
They have an interesting lineup. They have a lot of Texas girls, but then they mixed it in with a bunch of international girls too. So I'm curious how they get their talent in there. I'm not too familiar with a lot of people there, which I probably should in the upcoming weeks. But you know, what makes them one of the up and rising teams later on in the top 20s?
I think when you are practicing in an environment that has a lot of wind a lot, it makes playing in not so windy environments a lot easier. And like that ball control and grit part of it just kind of, I feel like, carries a lot of weight.
Yeah. I think it's a one pairs or two pairs. Hannah Doyle and Stephanie Young. Do any of you ladies know either of the two? New names. One's a Phoenix girl from Sandra Day O'Connor, and the other's a graduate student from Frisco, Texas. I don't know where she did her indoor or her undergraduate stuff.
She played at FAU.
Oh.
Stephanie.
There you go. They're one of the leading teams on Texas A&M Corpus Christi, which you're going to be all too familiar with these next few weeks, Kylie. One of the other teams on the watch list, Stetson has been rising up slowly too. And again, that's another team that we haven't seen a whole bunch of. I saw them in Long Beach for the Long Beach Invitational. Shea Henson and, oh gosh, Molly Clement at the ones. But they've got Pair of the Week honors in the conference they're in. And they're a good team to watch. You know, it's just they've had a tough schedule. And don't let the record fool you. They will get you, and they'll most likely be out of that conference. It's Southland, or I can see it. I just can't name it off the top of my head, the conference they're in, but usually A-Sun. They win that conference. There you go, A-Sun. So, but they're an up-and-riser. Their only loss is at Arizona State, and that team Jaden is familiar with pretty regularly, and I think you'll be seeing quite a bit of them this coming weekend, I believe, at the Pac-12 North. Is that what it is?
Yes, in Washington.
Yep. Again, like I said, there are a lot of idle teams, but I wanted to ask you guys as athletes. I mean, I know on the men's side, we've already seen the teams that took off during spring break and had finals, they came back and had an unexpected loss. Is it the same for Collegiate Beach? Stump. Oh, Kelly wants to go.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like for us, we had a week off last week, and then we went to Louisiana, and I feel like it's the best our team's played in a while. So for us, I don't think it was that case, but I don't know. I feel like beach is like such a physically taxing sport. Like, you're running in the sand and jumping in the sand, so like you have to take like a few days off, or like you can't practice as hard as you can like every day of the week. Like, you have to have like a light day or like whatever. So I don't know, I think for some teams it's good, for us it proved to be good, so I feel like that's all I can speak on. But it also made me more excited to play. I was like, oh, I haven't played in a week or so, like I'm excited to get out there and compete. And I feel like most people are probably that way, so I think it could work in your favor most of the time.
Jaden, do you have something to add on there?
Yeah, we had a like 3-day break, and that's the biggest break we've had in forever. And it actually was just so nice to like mentally recover, physically recover, and kind of like Kelly said, just like getting back to playing and getting back to competing was just like so much fun again. And because beach volleyball season's so compact, and it's like go, 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 it goes by so fast. So just kind of like remembering that, you know, and being present, that's great, especially because I know seasons can be over and like that. So yeah, I think a break is nice, and it can refuel a team.
Yeah. Kylie, anything to add there on the break?
Yeah, I agree. I think also like taking a week off competing kind of lets you like work on certain things maybe you didn't have time to like really work on or focus on, which is nice sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we can't avoid talking about LMU. They went 4-0 on the week. They had wins against Pepperdine, St. Mary's, Pacific, and Santa Clara, but they've fallen back in the poll just because of some upset losses at East meets West. And but they're still a good team, without a doubt. And that brings us to one of the hottest teams in the nation, Cal Poly. I'll let you ladies jump in and talk about Cal Poly. I'm going to throw some numbers down like a volley nerd, but what's your take on Cal Poly? Let's start with you, Kelly.
I feel like I said this last time, but they're one of those teams. I remember last year, I was like, their record wasn't very good, but I was like, they're like Cal Poly. I when I think of good teams at beach volleyball, like I have them up there just because their coaching and like their history, I feel like has been pretty good. Also, like the teams, they have Lindsay Sparks, like Aaron Inske, Piper, like Izzy Martinez, like all those people are like, aren't new to beach volleyball. They know what they're doing. So it makes sense to me that they're winning and doing so well. And like all of them know how to compete. So I don't know. I feel like they're getting the credit they deserve. Also beating Cal, like that's really good for them considering like how high Cal is in the rankings most of the time and how they have like an established name, established team. So I don't know. I think they're just going to keep going up and I'm excited to see what they do. I hope we get to play them because I don't know. I'm excited. I'd like to play them. I think it'd be fun.
You guys won't see each other though, right? Or are you at the center of effort? No.
No, so we won't. It would only be at the tournament. Setting. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Kylie, what's your take on Cal Poly?
Yeah, I think Todd's great coach. And again, the girls, they're really awesome players. Not new to beach volleyball. Like Allie always says, like Todd's been crafting them together. So yeah, awesome for them.
And Jaden.
I mean, I agree with everything that they said. I think their record is 22-2 overall, if that's right. I think that's just
that is correct.
A testament to the kind of team they are. And they're not in like the top three and top four, but like they're right there. And I think they have great coaching. I think they have great players and seems like they kind of got their lineup figured out and they're, you know, consistently winning. And I think we'll get to play them at the center of effort. So that will be interesting.
That's in 2 weekends.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I keep saying it, but I feel like our schedule this year has just been nonstop, like great teams, which is great, but also a little bit exhausting.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Well, I wanted to point out that so you did get 22-2 is Cal Poly's record, but this is the volley nerd looking at the stats. It's like, well, shoot, what's making them so good? If you look across their ones through fives, their worst flight is their fives, and they're winning at a 78% clip. Wow. Everyone else is 82 or higher. Their ones are 19-4, their twos are 21-2, their threes are 20-3. And their fours are 19-4. And I'm like, my goodness, how in tarnation, you know, and they've got some solid wins early on. Their only losses were March 1st and March 2nd to USC and UCLA. Otherwise, everyone else has been, they've handled them. They've gone three. I've been even just looking at the release. If you go three with any of their pairs, they're going to win out. It seems like, because they just outgrind you to death. But, that's a Todd Rogers team right there. So great team to look out for. And Center of Effort Challenge is going to say for you, Jaden, you guys actually have your last home duel that Tuesday prior to the Center of Effort Challenge. And it's not, well, you have Northridge or CSUN, got to get the branding right, and Long Beach State. And then you guys probably head up there probably that Thursday to Cal Poly.
Yep. It'll be a quick turnaround. That's senior day on Tuesday. And then we'll take the bus up to SLO.
Yeah. Your third senior day?
Second in a row. I'm so special.
Any closing thoughts on Cal Poly, ladies, before we move on? No? All right. Let's see. I think the rest are just teams we've already talked about in the Death Volley Invitational, but some of the numbers that stuck out were Stanford, we'll have these specialists. You guys are getting it done at the twos, threes, fours, and fives with another high winning percentage clip. I mean, you went 6-0 this last weekend. Kelly, you guys are not flying under the radar, but you're pretty much beating the teams you need to.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. We wanted to play this weekend FSU. I think this was the first time Stanford's beat FSU. I think we've only played them one other time, like 4 years ago or a long time ago. So that was huge for us. Also, like TCU, just seeing like our progress from last year to this year, like just in so many different ways that they're like coaching, all our conditioning and stuff like that. I feel like in our freshmen obviously are super good, which is helpful. But I don't know, it's just been awesome to see like the growth there and like the milestones that we've been able to hit. And I don't know, it's just super exciting. And TCU, for example, like we now beaten them twice, super good team, super high in the rankings. And like last year it was like we lost to them, they got us out of the tournament, considering they lost a few people too. But I don't know, it's been exciting, and I think we kind of have our lineup figured out, and we tried new things, which I think was good on our coaches, because in the past we hadn't really like switched up our lineup ever. So I don't know, it's good, and everyone's excited to play. And even like Kate Rye, like she was our ones like a while ago, now she's like in the fives but killing it at the fives. She secured the duel for us against FSU, so I don't know, it's good. We have a lot of depth this year, so it's been exciting.
Interesting you should bring that up, because I was asking Jaden from her perspective, because she's kind of the grandma of the bunch right now. She's seen that in a good way, in a good way. But the transformation of the Stanford program, because we saw Charlie Ekstrom, who was a contributor to the show, one of the first recruits for Andrew Fuller in that program. And that's when you started to see the program come around. Then you picked up Zelani Hodel and Kate Riley and a few other big names, but you see this growth in the program. And please do speak to that, Jaden, because I know that you have a great outside perspective of what's happening in Cardinal land.
Yeah, I mean, it is really cool to see the progression of all teams, but I think Stanford is honestly the one that's just like gone up every single year, which is really amazing to see. And I feel like every time we play Stanford, it's a great match. But yeah, I mean, this year, Stanford is definitely a team to look out for, because you guys are great ones through fives. And even the people that are not playing are all players that are amazing. So I think, yeah, your team is going to be really, really good for many years to come, especially with the young talent you have on the team. So yeah, I think it's going to be pretty much the new normal that Stanford's going to be up there. So
I think it's funny. Of course, I pull up the release, and the last sentence of the paragraph says, "The match is knotted again at 2 points apiece, almost simultaneously as FSU took the match on court four, while the Cardinals, Bilardi and Hoffman, earned the point on court three."
That's funny.
There you go. See, you're contributing there. And it would come down to court five. But, you know, in the same respect, Cal has seen that progression as well. And Washington, which makes the Pac-12 just a gnarly place to be. So some great and Pac-12 North coming this weekend. Kylie, outsider take on the growth of programs, not only in the West Coast, but as a whole, as we see the flights getting better, deeper in the lineup.
Yeah, I think that's definitely why we don't have any undefeated teams left. Like, it's there's true. So much depth throughout the country, like FIU, FAU, FSU, TCU, like across the whole country, Stanford, all those teams, and like Cal, like teams that were top 20 teams, but not like up there. And I just think it goes to show like the growth of the sport across the country, and it's an exciting place to be and see.
Oh, without a doubt. I wanted to add one more tidbit about USC. SC is getting it down to the ones, threes, and fours. That's Matty Criz, former teammate to Kelly there, and Grace Seitz, the Norses, and Criz and White. They're mixing it up at the fours. And then Ashley Pater, a true freshman, and Mabin Thomas are also taking care of business, at least numbers-wise, if you look at the stats. Which brings us to UCLA, and I definitely want to mention this. One of the other hottest teams in the nation right now with a 20-3 overall record, Dev Newberry and Perry Brennan. They're the only 20-win team or pair twos in the nation. So UCLA is still strong, and they're getting it done. So with that, that's all the stuff on the top 20. But I wanted to see what you guys are going to be watching this weekend that's coming up. And let's start with you, Kylie. I know there's some stuff your way coming, so I thought you'd drop that for sure.
I'm definitely excited for Pac-12 North. I love all the Pac-12 tournaments. Super fun. But then TCU has Hawaii, which I'm excited to see. I will be there also because we're also playing both teams. So I'm excited to be there.
All right. How about you, Jaden?
Well, since we're going to Washington at Pac-12 North, it'll definitely be interesting to see the Pac-12 teams face off again. I think everyone that we didn't play in Pac-12 South, is that what it is? It's kind of like a switch. So it's always interesting to see how the other Pac-12 teams match up against the other Pac-12 teams. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, for both you and Kelly, how does that work? Why are only certain teams at the Pac-12 South or North? I thought it was a mandatory thing for your conference standings, but you know, I've never got the explanation from Stein or Andrew or you know, whoever else or Jenny. I mean, just whoever wants to come, like a feeding trough of volleyball competition, just come who's hungry.
Well, Kelly, are you guys going to Washington?
Yeah, we do. I have no idea how it works, honestly.
All the teams go to the tournament, but there's just not enough time or days for everyone to play everyone. So it's got to be split up in half so that it works out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it has Arizona, Cal, Arizona State, SC, Stanford, Washington, Oregon, Utah, and UCLA. And it's still a lot of teams, though. At least from what I can gather from the schedule that's listed on collegebeachvolleyball.com. So, I mean, obviously I'll be watching that one because two of the four of our contributors will be facing off potentially, maybe at the same flights. We'll soon find out. One of the other ones I want to mention, Florida State is hosting some. I don't know the name of it, but they have FIU, LMU, of course, host Florida State, Northern Florida, North Alabama, UAB, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and FAU. So in the East, that'll be one to watch. And then, Kyle, you mentioned the one in Fort Worth. Is that TCU's deal? Okay. And that's Texas and Houston Christian, along with Hawaii. Is that correct? Three. And then, and then Atlanta, Georgia, LSU, Stetson, FGCU in Southern Mississippi. And then if you're really in the Orange County area, in Laguna Beach on Main Beach, the place where volleyball got its roots in Orange County, Cal Poly, Long Beach State, and St. Catharines. So a lot of competitions weekend. And I wanted to ask all of you particularly, there's only going to be two more weeks of the regular season. this crazy. What's it like at this point? Because it's been like a shotgun. You know, it started, ball drop or the first serve happened in late February. And here we are, first week of April, and we're talking postseason already. So thoughts on that. We'll go with Jaden since she's shaking her head there.
I just can't believe it. I can't believe that there's like no time left. Yeah, I mean, I think these next 2 weeks or 3 weeks are just super crucial for all teams, especially with, you know, rankings and bids to Gulf Shores. I feel like everyone wants to go to Gulf Shores, and that's what everyone's big goal is. And obviously to do well and win a national championship. But I think these next few weeks are really, really crucial for some teams. So I think that going into every match with, you know, the best mentality will be really, really important.
Yeah. Kelly, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with Jaden. It goes by so fast. It's crazy. Like, I feel like I was just doing this all last year and it was all so new to me. But now I'm like, I've been doing this kind of for a while now. And like, I don't know, it makes me sad. I'm like, I don't want it to ever end. It's so much fun. And like being with your team, like something about college beach volleyball that I love so much is like actually having a team. Cause like whenever I play, like it's just you and your partner and it's like great and whatever, but you're never like have that sense of like community and you're all like working towards the same goal. And like, you always want like your teammates to like do well. Cause like they're your teammates. And also like, that's what's going to help you win the duel. Whereas when you're playing in like tournaments in the summer, just before that, you like want your friends to do well, but also like you're competing against them. So it's like, I don't know, but college beach volleyball is so fun. I'm sad it's coming to an end, but kind of like what Jaden said, just trying to focus on these coming up tournaments and just doing your best so that you can be fully prepared for Gulf Shores. I feel like it's all you can do right now, and also not stressing out too much about it, because I don't know, you've worked so hard and like you know what you're doing at this point. Like, all the teams do. You've played with your team for this much of the season, so I don't know, just focusing on the present rather than like getting too ahead of yourself. I feel like it's important. Yeah.
Well, Kylie, I know you're redshirting this year, but I feel like Stein's got some pretty gnarly talent in the hopper coming out for next year. But being the outsider, seeing what's happening this season, what's the mood like over in the Longhorn locker room or on the sand courts there?
We're definitely just excited to be learning and getting better and being surrounded by such awesome people. I mean, they're all national champions, like, with us every day. You know, it's not obviously Beach, but they're just awesome people, and they bring a lot of good things to us. So, and then I think a lot of us are also really excited to see how everything pans out this year in Gulf Shores.
Yeah. Well, it's an exciting time. So I think Pac-12 Network is getting all your duels up there in Washington, I believe. Is that correct for you guys? Maybe? Or just Instagram lives from your parents? Go follow their parents.
I hope they're filming it.
Well, I definitely wanted to say congratulations to Allie Hansen on her career milestone, 100 wins, and definitely over to Anna Long, who she's seen some time with this season with her 75 or 50? I just saw 25. One with 50 too. Her and Alex Durish. So, which, you know, seeing them play in person at East Meets West, they're legit. They're a good team. I wanted to bring up a topic that's kind of related, volleyball related, but over on the men's indoor side, because all of you know I do men's indoor top 20 as well. And I was reached out to you by the libero of Emmanuel in Georgia. And they're having this weekend their suicide awareness match. And the libero was personally connected because Labor Day weekend was the last time he saw his brother. And in October, he received the unfortunate news that his brother committed suicide. So I would explain it, but I'd rather have you go to either my social feed, that's the Rob on the Mic on Instagram, or Viral Volley Media, or NCAA MVB, and you can see his story. But they just want to bring awareness to it, and it's very touching, the comments that are showing up on there. But the key thing that he wanted everyone to know is you are never alone. So I wanted to get that message out there. If thoughts you have the ideation of suicide, you are never alone. Reach out to someone. There are resources out there for you. With that, I wanted to thank Kelly Bellardi of Stanford, Jaden Whitmarsh of UCLA, Kylie Wickley of Texas, whom I can't wait to see in person in her home area in a couple of weekends. But you guys are incredible ambassadors to beach volleyball. I appreciate having you on.
Thanks for listening to College Volleyball Weekly. Be sure to follow Rob Aspero at the Rob on the Mic on Instagram and at Rob on the Mic on Twitter.